I'd like to do is I'd like to go in our Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter number 2, and we are going to finish Romans 2 tonight, and we're going to read, if I can get down here where I'm supposed to be, we're going to read verses 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29. So only 4 verses of scripture tonight, and we are going to cover all 4 of these, and this is not, I don't have a ton of material here, but I want to leave chapter 3. Chapter 3 starts a different thought, and so I don't want to go into chapter 3 tonight. I want to just stay in chapter number 2. So we're going to read verses 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29. And I was just wondering, I don't have to, you guys maybe get a little tired of hearing my voice. I'd like to maybe hear somebody read the text for us tonight. Is there somebody that would be willing to read the text for us?
I'll read.
Okay, Sister Caroline, thank you. You would read.
I'm covering what? Okay. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keep the righteousness requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code, the uncircumcision are a transgressor of the law? For is he not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly? The circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray again before we go into the word of the Lord. Lord, we know that your word is holy, that your word is righteous, and it's pure, and it's powerful, God. And we pray that you would open up our minds, our understandings, and Lord, write your word on our heart tonight, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at verse 25 tonight. And it starts off and it says, verse 25, it says, for circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. And let me explain what that's saying here. Back in the day, the Jews, and you can read about this if you was to read in Jewish history, the Jews kind of felt that Jewish males felt that circumcision was kind of their get out of jail free card. That, you know, that if they did not live right, if they did not lead a righteous life, that somehow they would still be okay and they would be spared final judgment as long as they had circumcision. So you could kind of, as long as you were circumcised in the Jewish mindset of that day, the Jewish mindset was, as long as you're circumcised, you know, you're kind of all right. You can kind of, you know, do some things that are not God, that are ungodly and wicked, and as long as you're circumcised, that circumcision was your get out of jail free card. But the problem, the thing that Paul was trying to impress upon the church here in Rome, because, and again, the church in Rome, remember, those Jews were returning to Rome. So that's why there were so many Jews coming into the church in Rome. And this is why Paul had to talk so much about the law to these Jewish Christians. And Paul was trying to show them that, listen, the outward symbol of circumcision means nothing without the inward reality, okay? And you can very well apply that, folks, to our Christian lives, that we can have the outward signs of being Christian, but all of that becomes meaningless if there is no inner reality. And so Paul said, listen, circumcision is indeed of value if you obey the law, but if you're going to go out and break the law, then you make your circumcision into uncircumcision. In fact, I want to throw something out here that I think this is something that's been rolling in my mind about this verse for the last few days. And this is not Bible. This is just, I read this where somebody else had written this, and it's kind of been bouncing around in my head, is that I almost wonder sometimes if circumcision actually could almost work against the Jews. And I will explain what I mean. The circumcision was proof that a person was not acting out of ignorance. In other words, if they were circumcised, it shows that they had knowledge of the law of Moses, that they were not acting out of ignorance like some pagan Gentile. But circumcision proved that a person did not act out of ignorance when they transgressed. And so they knew the requirements of the law and still broke it. And that's even worse. It's one thing to break God's law. That's bad. That's wrong. That's no good. That's wrong. But it's another thing to know about it, to understand it, and then go ahead and break it anyway. One of the things is true is that with knowledge, folks, with knowledge comes responsibility, okay? When we know the precepts of God, we know the Word of God, then we are responsible, more so than somebody that ignorantly doesn't know anything about the Word of God, and they transgress, they sin, they're going to get judged for their sin. But for us, it's not just so much sin so much as it would be transgression. And so that's what Paul was trying to talk to them about in verse 25. And then in 26, he says, so if a man who is uncircumcised, this would be like a pagan Gentile, okay? So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And think about that. So he says, if a man who's uncircumcised, but yet he keeps the precepts of the law, is not his uncircumcision going to be counted as circumcision? Well, let's consider the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 11, Jesus had been teaching the Jews, and the Jews were not believing in him. They were not accepting him. They had the law. They had all of the prophecies of how Messiah would come, and Jesus was fulfilling all of those Old Testament prophecies right in front of their eyes, okay? And in Luke chapter 11, verse 32, Jesus told the Jews, he told them, listen, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something or someone greater than Jonah is here. In other words, Jesus was saying, listen, those were pagan Gentiles that, if I can use one of my dad's old expressions, these were pagan Gentiles that didn't know their head from a hole in the ground. And was Jonah a good prophet? I mean, let's be honest, folks. I mean, I've heard people say, man, when I get to heaven, I want to meet Moses. Or when I get to heaven, I want to meet Abraham. Or man, when I get to heaven, I want to sit down with the prophet Isaiah. Have you ever heard anybody say, man, when I get to heaven, I want to sit down with Jonah? No, you don't. Jonah is not somebody that you would refer to as one of the greater prophets of the Old Testament time. And yet, these people of Nineveh, having no knowledge of the law of God, they didn't know the law of God or none of that stuff. And here comes this roughshod preacher by the name of Jonah. They heard him, they believed his message, and they repented. And you had these Jews in Jesus' day that had the law, had the knowledge, had the understanding, and they would not believe Jesus. they would not believe him. And that's when Jesus says, listen, listen, Nineveh is going to be testimony against you in the day of judgment. And I believe that's what Paul is talking about in this verse here in verse 26. He says, when an uncircumcised, in other words, a pagan Gentile, keeps the precepts of the law, their uncircumcision is going to be made circumcision. And then in verse 27, he says, and Carl, I didn't have this, but if you've got verse 27 that you can put in up on the screen, it says, then he who is physically uncircumcised, but keeps the law. I think I just lost my camera. Did I just lose my camera? There, I'm back. Okay. The Bible says in verse 27, it says, he who is physically uncircumcised, but keeps the law, will condemn you guys who have the written code and circumcision, but still break the law. And this might not be a very spiritual application of this verse. And in fact, it's actually not spiritual at all, but I can remember reading an article, and it was talking about some of the greatest artists that we've had in history. And one of them is a famous, you're going to recognize the name, Michelangelo. And Michelangelo, you think of him as painting the ceiling there in Rome and all of the paintings that Michelangelo did, but really Michelangelo was more of a sculptor than he was a painter. And he would paint and he would sculpt. And they're saying, the thing about it is the Michelangelo's, they said that the technology they had in those days, the tools that they had to work with, were very rough, rustic tools that, I mean, you just couldn't hardly do anything with. And the paints and the pigments and stuff that they had to work with, was none of that stuff was anywhere near what we have today. But yet, what the article I read said, if we were to have an artist living nowadays with all of the better materials and better brushes and better equipment to try to do what Michelangelo did with his rustic tools, we couldn't do it. There's no artist on earth right now alive today that could replicate what Michelangelo did, even with our modern tools. And this is just like Paul is saying here. He says, he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law is going to condemn those who have the law, have, in other words, the quote unquote, the technology, but they still break the law. Okay. Let's go to verse 28 and 29. And this is, believe it or not, folks, this is the last two verses of this chapter. And when we finish verses 28 and 29, we're done with Romans 2. Romans 2 and 28 and 29 says, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly. You could almost just stop and start teaching right there. No one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. A Jew, verse 29, is one inwardly, and true circumcision is a matter of the heart. So Paul was very, very blunt here, and he said, one who is a Jew, who is merely a Jew outwardly, is not really a Jew. And one who just has outward circumcision is not really a Jew. A Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, the Jews of that day, and we can learn from their mistakes, folks. The Jews just could not get it in their head. They thought that their natural lineage, their natural descent, that they were the seed of Abraham, that they were, you know, the offspring of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They thought that that somehow gave them everything they need to make it to heaven. And And they relied so heavily on their physical descent, their physical birth. And if you look at Nicodemus, that was, that was funny. This is, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a teacher in Israel, okay? Nicodemus was a teacher. History says that Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, in other words, the ruling body of Jews. Nicodemus was wealthy. Nicodemus was well studied in the law. And again, he taught the law. He was a teacher of the law. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you know how the story goes. It says that he came to Jesus by night and he said, Lord, we know that you are come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do. And in verse 3, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, again, it's in Nicodemus's mind, he can't think of a spiritual birth. That is outside the concept of a Jew. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? In Nicodemus's mind, that Jewish mindset, it's the physical descent that is going to, this outward, the outward flesh that is going to be what, you know, gets you into heaven. And he says, can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See how he just did not understand that Jesus was talking not about a physical birth, not a fleshly birth. Jesus was saying, no, I'm talking about a spiritual birth. I'm talking about a birth that happens in here. And it starts on the inside, and it will ultimately spread to the outward man. But the real birthing happens on the inside of a person. The real birthing happens on the inside of a man. And another example of the Jews just totally not understanding, they were so hung up that they were the physical descendants of Abraham. And if you look in John chapter 8 and verse number 39, the Jews answered and said to Jesus, hey, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you're Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This, Abraham didn't do this. And then he said, you are doing the deeds of your father. In other words, he's saying, listen, you've got a father, but your father's not Abraham. And they said to him, listen, this is verse 41. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And look at Jesus. See, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not come of my own initiative, but he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Then he says plainly in verse 44, remember, they said, we, Abraham is our father, is what they had said. And in verse 44, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The Jews said, listen, Abraham is our father. And Jesus says, listen, I'm not talking about your genealogy. I'm not talking about your physical descent. I'm talking about the man, not on the outside, but the man on the inside. And he's telling those Jews, listen, you might be sitting there, all of you circumcised, and all of you keeping the outward parts of the law, but I'm telling you, you're of your father, the devil. And you know, I don't want to be that kind of Christian that just has it on the outside. And that's what Paul is talking to the church in Rome, is that, you know what? And like I said earlier in my notes, that the outward evidence is meaningless without the inward reality. Okay? You need to be Christian, not just on the outside. We need to be Christians inwardly. We need to be Christians inwardly. And I've got three more verses that I want to read. And one of them was in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 25. And in Romans 2, closing out Romans chapter 2 here, Paul is talking a whole lot about circumcision and showing them that circumcision, that the real circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh. It's an inward thing, not an outward thing. And Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 25, Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised." Or as what I've got here, I've got this in the ESV. Let me read this. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised merely in the flesh." In other words, they've got the outward stuff, but they don't have a circumcision of the heart. They don't have that circumcision of the heart. And he says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised merely in the flesh." It takes a circumcision of the heart for all of us. And this is kind of an ugly, I don't want to end this on an ugly note here, but this is an ugly sounding verse in Revelation. If you look at Revelation, and if you look throughout the scripture, God's people are often likened unto sheep. Okay? We, you know, if you look at the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." When David wrote the 23rd Psalm, he was referring to himself as a sheep. If you look at the Gospels, especially the book of John, Jesus refers to his followers as sheep. And remember how he told Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yeah, I love you." And he said, "Okay, Peter, then feed my sheep." You know, the people of God, time and time and time again, are likened unto sheep in the scripture. And if you look in Revelation 13:11, he said, "Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb," in other words, like a sheep, "and it spoke like a dragon." And every time you seemingly look at the word dragon in the scripture, it's never referring to anybody good. Satan is likened unto a dragon in a few places in the scripture. And John, in this vision that he was having on the Isle of Patmos when he wrote the Revelation, he said, "I saw this beast rise up that looked like a lamb. It looked like a sheep, but it spoke like a dragon." And you know how the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you know what? I want to have it on the outside. I want to have it on the outside. But oh my goodness, let me also have the inward reality of the gospel. And the last verse I'll read, Jesus gave a warning to his followers in Matthew chapter 7. And again, you notice here we're talking about this outward versus inward, that they outwardly appear one way, but inwardly they do not have the inward reality. And it says in verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And you know what? None of us are perfect, folks. We've all got problems. We've all got issues. That's what the process of sanctification is. In the book of Romans, you're going to see that Paul talks about sanctification. And sanctification, by definition, is just the process of becoming holy. That and it takes a lifetime. And we're all growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that I'm perfect or that you are perfect, and none of us will ever be perfect. Okay, there's only one perfect, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want there to be that inward reality of my outward profession. I want to have that inward reality. And the last words I'll say here before I'm dismissed is, I think I've told this story in church before, but years ago, me and Sister Wiggins had gone to a conference that we used to attend every year. And Sister Kristen, you will recognize this conference. It was PSR, and it's a big conference. And PSR always fell right before deer season in Colorado. And I would go to PSR, and then the last night of PSR, I would drive off, go home, and have all my stuff packed and just start driving and drive all night long and drive to Colorado to go deer hunting. Well, one year we were doing that, and it was me and another young guy in the church, and we got to St. George, Utah. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been to St. George, Utah. And back in those days, St. George, Utah was a place for what was called the FLDS, the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. And these were Mormons, and they were polygamous. They believed in polygamy. And I think we all know what polygamy is, you know, where a man has more than one wife. And we were just pulling in to town into St. George, Utah, and there was a person. There were these two, or not, excuse me, not two, there was this Pentecostal looking lady outside this pickup truck with this man, and their truck was broke down. And I turned to Jesse, the young man that was with me. I said, look, here's some Pentecostal folks, and they're broke down. They're broke down. We need to stop and help them. And because believe me, they had all the outward signs of somebody that, you know, you would say, oh yeah, yeah, I recognize you. You know, you're one of us. You're one of us. Well, I had driven, you know, I'd driven all night, hadn't slept. And I, you know, I am not that smart, not that swift anyway. So I get out and I walk up to them. I said, hey, do you guys need some help? And they said, well, we think we've got help on the way and all of that. And I said, so are you guys coming back from the conference? Like, and the lady turned to me and said, what conference? And I said, well, PSR conference in Fresno, California. She said, we don't know anything about any PSR conference. I said, well, you guys are apostolics now, aren't you? And she just looked at me, and she didn't cuss. I'm thankful for that. But she was really straight with me, and she said, we're not apostolics. And about that time, I looked, and I noticed that there was another woman in the truck. So we had two wives and one man. And, you know, finally, you know, the gears started turning in my head. And she looked at me just as I saw that other lady in the chair, in the truck. She says, we're FLDS. We're Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. And I said, oh, okay. Well, good for you. I'm glad. That's you know, good for you. And I said, so I guess we'll be on our way. And we couldn't get back in, you know, in the car quick enough and get out of there. And they didn't need any help, and we would have helped them anyway. But the deal was is that sometimes outward appearances can fool you. Okay? Sometimes people can appear to be Christians, and they've got the outward appearance, but they do not have the inward reality. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about in Romans 2, when he said, listen, you Jews are circumcised, and so you think that you're get out of jail free card and you can do anything you want. But the true circumcision, Paul told them, is not an outward circumcision. The true circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. And that's what I want to be right in my life. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful, Lord. We're thankful for every good thing that comes from you, Lord. We want every word of your word. We want every letter, every syllable, every word of your scripture, Lord, to sink down in our minds and in our hearts. Oh God, walk with us, Lord. Help us to walk with you. And oh Lord, I pray that there be a hedge of protection around the church, around the people that gather in our church. I pray that there just be a hedge of protection, Lord. And we pray that, God, in Jesus' name we pray.